Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
It is good to be with you. As I try to figure out what I'm going to get Dana for her 50th birthday, the cake is already purchased.
He's put a lot of thought into it. I leave Friday.
You know, cash is always a nice gift.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. I was going to go with a gift certificate to your favorite restaurant.
Ooh. Like that.
$100.
Okay, like that.
Okay. Thought you would. And then I thought, nope, I'm going to get her a diary.
Journal.
Going to get her a journal.
With a gift card inside of it.
It's like a daily planner and a trapper keeper.
Right?
Right? Remember the old trapper keeper? Was there any better sound in the whole wide world?
What's a trapper keeper?
Oh.
Mm.
Oh,
you don't know what a trapper keeper is?
Oh, my. Would you like to find the noise online, please, Sam? Because every single person listening in the world, except Scott Parks, knows exactly the noise that I am talking about the second you
gotta
rip that thing open.
Oh, yeah.
You got to go back to school days.
Psst. Do you really not know what a trapper keeper is?
I know what it is now. I know what it is
now. And the phenomenal noise it made when all of the kids that had more money than I did opened that thing. Did I ever tell you, my dad, when I was in like junior high school and high school.
Do you know they're banned?
What?
They're banned.
Who says who?
They are banned in schools for being too large and distracting.
Well, they are that. I mean, my God, I love that noise. My dad. Thank you, Sam. Oh, I love that sound. One more time, please.
Yep. Oh, my God.
If we could also play some Debbie Gibson in the background, that'd be great.
By the way, that's just the sound of Velcro.
That's just the sound of an opening, okay? And then you had all the little files and folders. But my dad, all of those years, worked at a special advertising company, like specialty advertising. So any crap with your logo on it, right? Pins. Right.
Okay, enough folders. Is enough.
And trapper every keepers. Year I would beg my mom for a trapper keeper because all the cool kids had the latest trapper keeper. And my dad would say, well, you don't need a trapper keeper. I'll just bring you home some samples. And so I would always be the kid that had the folder that said Hill's Pet Products on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
The
whatever samples didn't sell.
The off-brand.
Yeah, I'm still in therapy.
Those things stick with you, the things that your parents don't do for
right?
you.
Right? And, he would be like, just put some Velcro on it. It'll make the same noise.
I still
and I'm
want
like,
some
it's
parachute
not the same
pants.
Thing. Oh, I know. And the kids with the little triangles on the sides. Oh, I love those things growing up. Thank you, Sam. Now, if we could add the Velcro to this soundtrack, I'll just start crying.
You want to put a sticker on my trapper keeper?
I kind of do.
We need more Velcro.
More Velcro.
More Velcro, Sam.
I'm sure teachers hated that noise. But boy, did we think we were cool.
Thanks.
How did this even come up? Why are we even talking? And by the way, there it is. You can buy one on Amazon.
Two-day delivery, Scott.
What'd you say?
Two-day delivery. It'll be here Friday.
It has its own Wikipedia page. It featured sliding plastic rings instead of the standard snap close metal binder rings.
We know why they got rid of them in classrooms, because this sound is just, it takes the air out of the room.
I love it. I love it. Hold, please. The Trapper Keeper was invented in the late 70s by E. Bryant Crutchfield, director of New Ventures at the Mead Corporation. The binder got its name because it was sold in combination with pocket folders designed by Mead called Trappers, which differed from other pocket folders in that the pocket's three sides connected with the bottom, outside edge, and top.
High-tech stuff.
Very high-tech stuff. 3 years after the Trapper Keeper was released, the design was tweaked to include a Velcro strap instead of the initial metal buckle.
Of course.
I'm trying to find something that says...
You gotta go Velcro.
The teachers hated this thing.
Okay. If I hear that sound one more time...
The most glorious sound.
I'm gonna go homicidal.
Yeah, Dana loves this sound. But you're reacting like it's running water.
God, what is it about that sound?
Here it is. The Trapper Keeper is one of the most famous school tools ever created. See how much that thing grossed. How much did the Trapper Keeper gross?
Dan, can you look that up?
It annoyed teachers. Because it talks about this, too. The original ones came with tiny locks. I don't remember that. I was a Velcro Trapper Keeper kind of gal.
Of course.
Mead's annual sales of Trapper Keepers exceeded $100
million. Yep.
To date. Oh, this is 10 years ago now. To date, 10 years ago, more than 75 million had been sold.
Wow.
I love it.
Why are we playing Debbie Gibson?
Because it's the 80s, and that's the era of the Trapper Keeper.
You can still buy a Mead Trapper Keeper.
Do you get your head examined? Do you not understand what is happening here? The nostalgia is just oozing out of my pores.
The Mead name brand Trapper Keeper can still be purchased for a measly $20.
All right, listen to this.
$20?
$20.
The Trapper Keeper did something really interesting for an organizer.
Sorry, I didn't mean to snort. I'm sorry.
It was hip. Years before Nike.
It was not hip.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not.
I wanted one. I was poor. It was hip. Years before Nike proved that cool kids loved inanimate objects that could be used as status symbols, Mead's Trapper Keeper was already there with an easy way to express one's personality and style in the classroom. But there was just one problem. Teachers hated them. Their size... The Velcro, and the fact that there were multiplication tables inside of them. I'd forgotten about that. As a result, schools started banning these beacons of efficiency.
Beacons of efficiency?
Because said efficiency benefits could not be trusted in the hands of 11-year-olds.
Those things were holy grails if you can get the multiplication figures and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they had tables inside, like weights and measures, all that stuff. How did I forget that?
They had a little, like... calculator?
No, it was like a
multiplication table. So you have through 10 on one side.
But it was written
on
like heavier, like
cardboard kind of thing.
Yeah, like cardstock.
Cardstock.
You must have been in Germany. I'm so sorry you missed that era. Oh my gosh.
There is so much I missed in the mid 80s.
Quoting here from a sixth grade teacher, the kids with the Trapper Keepers tend to throw their papers in. They don't organize. They can't find anything.
Okay.
By the way, that did not get better with time. Kids still just threw things in their backpack.
Yes, please.
Okay.
So happy right now.
What just happened?
I don't know. I don't even know what you were talking about.
Dan mentioned the word Trapper Keeper.
I heard Trapper Keeper and Velcro, and off I went.
You're welcome.
Want to watch Back to the Future? I'll do it right now.
What he was going to get Dana for her birthday.
Does anybody want to watch Back to the Future?
Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
Do we have time for Karate Kid?
I don't know. I don't have time.
913-586-7798 here at Dana Parks. Why do you ask?
So the Kansas City Star and Channel 9 in the last couple of hours have posted stories how to know if you have eye damage from the eclipse. It's been 48 hours.
Yeah, you got to wait. You won't know yet.
If you can't see, you have eye damage. Most of that damage, Sam, happened overnight into the next day, where people that have been seriously damaged, they can't see. Or there's like spots on their eyes.
But they said the minor damage could take 4 to 6 weeks or something like that to appear.
Searches peaked at 3:12 p.m.
Why do my eyes hurt? No, that was the Google search.
I know. Google searches for eyes hurt spiked around the time of the eclipse, suggesting that viewers of the eclipse were worried that their discomfort might mean something more serious. Really? Searches peaked at 3:12 p.m. Eastern time, about 45 minutes after the path of the eclipse crossed into Texas from Mexico. Most of those searches were concentrated in states in or near the path of totality, where the moon fully blocked out the sun. Vermont, a state nearly bisected by the path of totality, reported the most searches.
No one wants to be bisected by the path of totality.
From people presumably concerned about their retinas. Most of those searches were in the northern Burlington metropolitan area.
I will say, being in the path of totality, there were a few other people on the riverbank around me when totality ended, and I heard at least two people say, oh, got to look away now, because they were still staring at it when totality broke.
Now, were they staring at it with their glasses on?
Well, no, in totality, you can't see it with the glasses on. You have to take the glasses off to see it in complete totality.
No, you do. You do not. That is incorrect.
I mean, I did it 2 days ago.
Oh, my God.
Sam!
In totality, you cannot see it with the glasses on. It is completely blocked out. I promise you, I just did it 2 days ago.
You took your glasses off?
For the entire 3 minutes of totality.
You're an idiot.
Who's going to push the button of this show?
You cannot see the totality with the glasses on.
Exactly.
Okay.
So then how are you supposed to see totality?
I don't know. You're not supposed to look at it. I just know since I was in kindergarten, I know you're not. It's like Mercury. You're not supposed to touch it. Which, by the way, still just Mercury rolling around, speaking of the 80s? Do you remember in grade school, someone would bring it to school.
You could play with it.
It would glob together.
No.
And no one ever thought this was a big deal. But doesn't it kill you?
Cam.
Oh, all right.
You can look at it when the moon is completely covering the sun and you can see nothing but the corona. The second it moves past totality, you have to put the glasses back on.
Okay, Trump.
Oh my gosh, you did not just say that. I hope that your eyes are fine. It would be my...
Well, it's been 48 hours and my eyes have not hurt once, so...
So you looked at the sun...
The second, so as I'm looking at it through the glasses, right, it's approaching totality. There's a little tiny sliver left.
Okay.
As it hits totality, the glasses just go black. You can't see it at all.
Right. Because it's black.
That's the point of the glasses.
So that's where the moon is, right in front of the sun. So technically
completely
it's not going to hurt you. And how long did that last, Sam?
About 3.5 minutes.
Oh, God. I don't think you're supposed to stare at it for 3.5 minutes.
I think this is a mistake.
I'm telling you, you can.
When is the next one of these things?
2044.
I feel like we should not put this podcast out there.
2044. August 2044.
All right.
Now, here in Kansas City, there was no point where you could do that.
No. The sun never
reached
the
like
sun
90
never,
some odd
yeah, right.
percent.
The sun never went away. You stared at the sun?
No. He stared,
no, stared
at the
moon
blockage
the sun.
Of the sun. Yeah. That's what he's saying.
I'm telling you, I did it. I did not look at it at any point where it made my eyes hurt.
Well,
No.
Sam, everything we've read said that when the damage is being done, the ophthalmologists have said, when the damage is being done,
you're
not going to hurt, you're not going to feel anything.
Look it up. I'm telling you, you would know if it was at a point where it was hurting your eyes because it would hurt like heck.
No, it does not. We've read this yesterday. All of the ophthalmologists said nothing hurts while the damage is being done.
Okay.
Can you stare at a solar eclipse? Here we go. Sam, you're an idiot.
Do not call him that.
I mean,
I'm now worried about his ocular macularness.
Any amount of time looking at the eclipse without protection is too long.
A total in totality?
Sam, I just read from the internet.
Well, then I guess I'm going to be blind in about 46
weeks. If someone
weeks.
Briefly looks at the eclipse, if it's extremely brief, in some cases, there won't be damage. But damage can happen.
Okay, now wait.
Even within a fraction of a second.
This is from NASA. You can, theoretically, view the eclipse directly without proper eye protection only when the moon completely obscures the sun.
For 3.5 minutes of
during
totality.
During the brief and spectacular period known as totality.
Hmm.
What would worry me, Sam, is that if for 1 second I'm staring at that, when the totality is done, I would worry I did damage to my eyes.
That's how we started this whole conversation, is that people were still staring upwards when totality broke, and I heard two or three people go, oh man, that hurt, I better put the glasses back on.
Okay,
well, they
it's
used
not supposed
profane
to
language.
Hurt.
Well, because totality broke.
Well, but how do you know before it breaks?
Well, you don't stare at it the whole time.
Okay.
All right.
Whatever. Dude, I'm just trying to keep you on the show.
Staring at the sun for as little as 5 seconds can damage your eyes, and even longer if it's permanent.
By the way, can anybody stare at the sun?
No.
It hurts.
That's what I'm saying. You would know that it was hurting you. And that's why I don't know why the ophthalmologist said that you wouldn't feel the pain. Because if you look at it.
What they said, I'm telling you, we read this again, and now the phone's ringing. Here come the scientists. What they said again and again and again is you're not going to know that there's damage, because there's a woman who is now partially blind. She's got like polka dots all over her eyes. Like when she sees out, it looks like polka dots. Okay. And
you
so
brought that on yourself.
She looked for about 6 seconds, I think is what she said, because she didn't know any better. And didn't feel a thing until the next day when she woke up and saw these polka dots. And she was like, well, that's weird. And she Googled it and was like, meh. Remember she said she can only read every other word? Like she'll look at a book and can only see every other word because every other word is blacked out by these spots.
Wait, where'd you guys go? It's getting darker in here.
Seriously?
No, but yeah. No, it's not.
Seriously? Don in Atchison. Don, hello. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, to jump in on this, Neil deGrasse, for what it's worth, was on NPR, like, I don't know, it was 2 or 3 days ago. And he talked about this, and he said, yeah, you wear your glasses, and then as soon as it's in totality, take your glasses off immediately so you can see it.
Like, real quick, and then put them back on.
And then when it's done, you put them right back on. So I think Neil deGrasse is probably right.
Okay.
Okay, hang in there.
Okay, all right.
I don't have any problem at all. I was inside.
Yeah, you didn't come outside.
It never got dark.
It never did get dark here, Sam.
I will say that you could watch what looked like nightfall taking over the horizon.
We did talk to John Grayson, who called in from Buffalo. And it was just cool listening to him explain it because it was pitch dark.
And so I was on a river. So you hear, you know, dogs barking, people having a good time. The second it hit totality,
Were turtles having sex?
Well, that was after it hit totality. The second it hit totality, it went silent on the river. And all you heard in the distance was an owl hooting. It was a surreal experience.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Really?
Never sound in love in the dark. This song has been played more in the last week than
been
in the last 20 years.
Sam, will you look this up? The hits that Total Eclipse of the Heart has had over the last 2 or 3 days. I think this song may have gone back to number one.
Get charted again?
No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I think it may have actually recharted.
It's as it should be.
Brian in KCK. Brian, good afternoon. Hello.
Well, I'll tell you that the most charted hit that I've been listening to was There Is a Light That Never Goes Out.
Who sings that?
The Smiths.
Wow, that's deep in the vault.
Yeah. So everybody listen and start charting that one. Anyways, you know, you can stare at a light bulb for just a second and it hurts. But when the light goes out, you can stare at it forever.
Yeah,
the point of looking at the eclipse if you're not going to look at it?
Not wanting to go blind?
I'd rather have my eyesight.
When it came through like 5 years ago, it was really neat when it went to totality. You could see like nighttime during the day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different type of nighttime. And yesterday you could have seen like 6 planets. So as soon as it goes dark, there's no harm. You know, you can see the corona and... And then when it's, you know, it doesn't turn on and off like a light bulb. It gradually gets lighter. So you do have a chance to, like, recognize it's going to come lighter and you look away and put the glasses on.
Hmm. Okay.
So I think, yeah, there's a light that never goes out, and that would be the sun.
Thank you, Brian.
By the way, on April 8th, a streaming platform said that Total Eclipse of the Heart was their number one played song.
Yeah. Okay.
It went back to number one.
You know how I read that? With my eyes that still
wow.
work.
Wow. Really? Wow.
With what?
With his eyes that still work.
Dakota in Kansas City. Dakota, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Not proud of this, but when I was younger, probably 7 or 8, I used to stare at the sun because I thought I was going to build a tolerance to it.
Oh.
That's a bad idea.
And was this like a friend of yours in grade school that told you this? Or like, how did you come up with this idea?
Nope. Just totally thought that one up on my own. I went about it very scientifically, though, because you don't just start off with the sun. I started by just staring at flashlights and light bulbs as long as I could. And once I could stand that for a few seconds, then I went outside and stared at the sun.
Okay. And can you walk across the street today, Dakota, without a seeing eye dog?
And how does blindness treat you today?
It might not surprise you to find out I don't have 20/20 vision, and I have an astigmatism. And
shocker!
<any glasses.
laughs> Okay. Daryl in Kansas City. Daryl, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, guys. It's a good show. Listen to you for a long time.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I'm 74 years old, you know, and I thought this was really overhyped. I mean, I lived here for 50 years, and 2017, it was cool. It was. I remember that when it was dark. It got dark outside, and, you know, yesterday, you know, overhyped. I mean, I had my glasses, looked at the sun. I mean, that's cool to look at that, but, you know, it was light outside. You know, my son went to, he lives in St. Louis. He drove down to Cape Girardeau, and I mean, it was black down there. It was night down there. He got some good pictures of that, but, you know, here it was just.
I was underwhelmed.
Yeah, I mean, that's me. It was just. I mean, the media all over, it's hype, hype, hype. Oh, the eclipse. You know, here it was just, you know, underwhelmed.
Yeah,
but you guys have a great show. I enjoy you.
Well, thank Daryl, you. Thank you so much. The only thing I'm going to disagree with is the media overhyped it. The media is only in the business of putting the content out there that really is important and timely and that people want to hear and see. And one of the questions people had, Scott, were, will the glasses work? How do I know if they're, you know, fraudulent in some form or fashion so that I think I'm protecting my eyes and I don't? And where can I find them? I mean, I had tons of people texting me and calling me. We can't find the glasses. And I'm like, well, the eclipse is in an hour. You probably should have started earlier than right now.
maybe a week ago.
I will say it was mildly underwhelming watching the first hour of it because I would look up every once in a while with the glasses on. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, but you were in the zone of totality.
Once totality hit, it was a totally different feeling.
And it went totally dark?
It looked like, so imagine like right after the sun goes down, after it breaks the horizon completely, and it's just the sky is slightly lit up.
Okay.
Dusk,
that is not what we had here.
No,
that's exactly what it looked
we had
like.
Here. I mean, in fact, if you look at right now, it sort of just looked like this.
Yeah.
It made it like a shade
Dana's
darker.
Dana's right.
It also dropped like 15, 20 degrees. It was
now we did
weird.
You did notice a cool breeze, but when we were at 154 or whatever it was, when it was supposed to be at its apex.
Peak.
Whatever. I was really disappointed. It was horribly underwhelming.
Oh, yeah, I can only imagine.
I was like, okay.
Especially with all that buildup.
Plus, we had to be on the air 3 minutes later. I mean, it was right before our show.
But Dana's right. If you look outside right now, this is what it looked like at 1:54 in the afternoon.
It was like, okay.
Where's the sun going down? And I don't understand why anything's not happening. It was boring. Boring. Story here from Fox News. She is a better woman than I. A grandmother has just broken the Guinness World Record for the longest time in an abdominal plank.
Oh, God.
For a female.
How long?
4.5 hours.
With no break?
Nope.
Oh, yeah, you're not allowed to have a break. Dana, can we, during the break, see how long you can go?
You want me to do a plank during the break?
No, I want you to do a plank right now.
I've had 4 children. If you broke through my abdominal wall
and a Planet Sub sandwich,
you would not find any muscular system there whatsoever.
The Canadian woman, Donna Jean Wild, held the plank for 4 hours and 30 minutes.
Good for her.
How long can you hold a plank?
I couldn't.
Let's find out right
now.
I'm
too top heavy.
No.
What? Your elbows are on the ground.
My elbows would be on the ground and my boobs would still touch the floor. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
No, you can do a straight arm plank.
You can do a high plank, yeah.
Do a high plank.
I don't want to do a high plank.
But what this woman did to get the record, you have to do the elbow plank.
How long do you think you could do a plank?
I can't do a plank. I know I cannot do a plank. I'm wearing a dress. I'm not going to stick my butt up in the air.
You don't stick your butt in the air.
No, I'm not doing a plank. I'm not doing it.
Do you think you could do a plank for 1 minute?
No, absolutely not.
1 minute.
No. I can do a plank about as well as you can play pickleball.
Wow.
That was below the knees.
Wow. That hurt.
I'm just saying we might have to rotate you out.
I didn't get the invite last night.
Well, you were out of town, number one. Number two, my friend Anna joined us. And number three,
she was lovely.
Love Anna. And then number three, Travis wanted to play. And so, I mean.
What do you mean you're going to rotate me out?
I'm not going to rotate you out. I'm just saying, you know, you.
No, you said you're going to rotate me out.
I am concerned about you being injured. I am legitimately concerned that you are going to get hurt in a way that is going to remove you from this show.
Wait, are we moving the geriatric prefix from Brian to Scott?
No, I'm telling you, Sam, I'm worried about your knees. I'm telling you right now, I'm worried they're going to give out. And
my knees are bad.
Yes, they're bad. And you're going to tear something, and then everyone's going to be like, oh, then you're going to be off. I am legitimately concerned. This comes out of love.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. I am legitimately concerned you are going to get hurt.
This hurts.
No, you know what else hurts? Me watching you fall. I literally last night, I said to Travis, we've got to stop doing this. He is going to get hurt.
I'm competitive.
I'm aware.
At least get the knee replacement, and then we'll
That's
get you back out
I
there.
That's what I said. Just go get your knees done.
Unbelievable.
I'm not going to rotate you out, but I want it on
you
the record
just said,
that when
you
are injured, it is not my fault.
I will take care of myself.
Okay, but Scott, look, you are too competitive for this game. Because you know what happens, Sam? Every single time.
Here we go.
I just come down and whack it right at him. If it's in front of him just enough.
Oh, I know.
He does not advance toward the ball. He leans and then
he
falls down like a fainting goat.
Okay,
every time.
Okay, enough.
I'm telling
enough.
You know I'm right.
That is garbage.
You are going to get hurt.
That is garbage. I am competitive. Unbelievable.
I am just speaking the truth.
I am hurt.
No, I am not here to hurt you, but let's call Travis. Call Travis right now. This is not just me. Travis said he is going to get hurt.
I mean, if it is a short ball in front of you, Scott, and you launch forward to get at it,
which he does every time.
Like a good 5 steps to regain your balance.
Sam, I said last night, multiple times, did I not? What did I yell at you? I yelled, let it go. I yelled, let it go, because I knew you were about to fall, and you are so competitive, you can't do it.
Get me Travis Walker. No.
How long can you plank?
Look, we are not rotating you out, but
really?
I would like
Getting
to urge
to
you.
Topic.
I would like to urge you. You can also go in and get those little injections, and they just
I know.
Work that stuff right in there, and it you know you'll be good for like 6 months.
I should.
Okay, let's work on that. What would the injury be? Be honest, because I don't know what's going on inside your knee. Is it a meniscus? What you don't have? It's your bone on bone.
I have 2 torn meniscus in both knees. Obviously,
you have 4 total torn meniscus.
No, I have 2.
Okay.
There's one in each knee.
You have one torn in one knee and one torn in the other.
Correct.
Have you spoken to your doctor about, like, are we talking, like, are we hanging on by a thread?
Yes.
Scott, I am telling you, you are going to tear your meniscus. And
they're already torn.
I don't want to be there when it happens. Full tear. They're partially torn, right?
No, they're torn.
Oh. Well, then you can't tear them any more than they're torn?
No, it's bone on bone. Okay, we're not.
But you can tear other ligaments.
We are not having this conversation. We are not having this conversation.
Why? I am legitimately concerned about your health.
You know what? Then I won't play on Tuesday nights.
No, I want you there because I love playing with you, but I think the leaning has to stop.
913-586.
You know I'm right, and that's why you're mad.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
It is Masters Week. Victor Hovland just made a hole-in-one on number six. It is the fifth ace today on that par three course.
So this is kind of like goof around day,
today's
right?
The fun day where all the little kids are running around in the little caddy outfits. Oh it is good. So that's cute.
Good. That's good.
Five aces today on hole six.
Whoa.
Five aces.
An ace is a hole-in-one, right?
On hole six, yes.
But it's only the par three, so it's the shorter holes.
Yeah, but I mean, to hit a hole-in-one on a par three is still
five
incredible.
In one day.
I mean, five is huge.
Is something.
I was actually reading about albatrosses the other day.
Wait. I'm no golf expert.
Five different players hit it exactly where you have to hit it for it to trickle down that hill and go in one day.
That's incredible.
That's how good they are. Yeah.
Wow. Brenda in Kansas City. Brenda, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi. Get those knees fixed. It's not that hard. And you've got two meniscus in each knee, one in the front and one in the back. I've torn both.
You've torn both, Brenda?
Uh-huh. The rear one's worse than the front one.
Do you know which one's torn, Scott?
I have no idea.
You have no idea.
I have no idea.
Brenda, let me ask you this. Is it possible to damage it further once you're bone on bone? And I ask this. Chris has had a knee replaced. My mom's had both replaced. I don't know the answer.
I don't know because I've never had my – I've got arthritis in my knees anyway, but I've never had – it that far. The first tear I got was in the front on my left knee, and that was from a car accident. When I tore the right one, it was the rear meniscus. Don't know how I did it.
Huh.
Yes, it can get worse, and yes, it can heal on its own.
Okay. I've never heard that, but okay.
I don't know about the second part.
Well, it depends on the severity of it.
Okay.
All right, Brenda, thank you for the call.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad do they hurt? Because when you were walking away last night, we played three quick matches.
Well, we played four.
Well, four. When you were walking away, you were in pain. You were hobbling away. And you look like Chris did before he had his surgery, honestly.
So on any given day, I'm definitely not Jason Kelce getting out of bed.
Okay.
But I will say this. When I walked down the stairs today, I didn't walk.
Did we scoot down on our bottom again like a toddler?
We did.
Yep.
How often have we been doing that
every
of late?
Every time he plays pickleball?
Every Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Leave me alone.
I'm not talking about this to drive you crazy. I am legitimately concerned that you are going, and that's why we need a doctor to call in.
No.
That you are going to somehow make what is already bad worse, but maybe if it's already torn, it can't get worse.
It can't get worse.
What's the concern in not doing it?
It says avoid activities that aggravate your knee pain, especially any activity that causes you to twist, rotate, or pivot your knee.
I don't trust doctors.
Like running forward, playing pickleball.
We'll just start chipping away at it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's already chipping away.
I'm just saying, we'll start, like, now that I've put the thought in your head, Scott, maybe you look at 2025 and you think maybe we get one. Which one's worse, left or right?
Right.
Okay. Maybe you get the right one done in 2025.
Fine.
Okay. See? Baby steps.
See? I love you. You know that.
I just don't want you to fall and get hurt.
Baby steps, like he takes down the stairs Wednesday mornings.
Front steps, that's a butt get scoot.
I am so done with you.
Is Stella watching you do this? Like, what's he doing?
Well, Stella's as bad as I am. She's like,
I feel you, man. I feel you.
Can we play a game today?
Yes.
I don't know why we don't.
Mixtape?
Nah.
You don't want to do mixtape?
No.
Family Feud?
Yes.
Family Feud at 4:45?
Let's do it.
Okay. Oh, no. We did not do terrible jokes yesterday because you were not here.
Okay.
Let's do terrible jokes at 4:45.
I'm in.
Family Feud at 5:45.
I'm in.
Oh, the twofer.
Yeah.
All
let's
right.
do a twofer today. All right. So hang on. Let me write this down. Terrible jokes, 4:45.
Okay.
Family Feud at 5:45.
Is that in your journal?
News with Dan Weinbaum is coming up in just a moment. Here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.